share a an answer to prayer that took place in our community a number of years ago. Karen, would you come? And then I want to speak to us on prayer this morning.
Hello. Pastor, I'll just ask that I share about this story. This happened a number of years ago in September. And some of you may remember when there was a little boy who was stolen out of his bed. Keegan, right, that was the name, in Sparwood and disappeared in the night. Anyone remember that story? It was horrific. Our whole town, the whole community, the valley was so shaken by it. And, it's like a nameless horror that any parent or community member, you can't imagine anything worse. And you don't know where it's going to go, how it's going to end, how the story will be resolved. And so, of course, we were deeply distressed over it. And then I got a call. I forget who called me, but Jill and Janet Paulson had really felt strongly in their heart that we needed to get together and go to a high place and declare the truth of the Lord. So we gathered a team of us who went to the top of Turtle Mountain. Some were young, some were older, and I think there was about, Debbie, you would remember, where are you, Debbie? She's not here, she's counting money, I think, but Brandy is not here either.
She's counting sheep.
Okay, so there was a number of us, and we climbed to the top of Turtle Mountain on a September day, and I think it was a Saturday, and along the way, we stopped, and we read portions of Psalm 18, and then we would cry, but it wasn't just a cry, like a crying out to God. It was like a roar, And the grief of this missing child was what catapulted us into a collective way to pray. I frankly have never prayed like that before. And then we'd go a little bit higher, and then it felt like another place, and we would read more from Psalm 18, and we would cry, and we would call out to God, and we would exhort one another and speak out loud the truth of what we know God as being sovereign. And then we got to the top, and little Ronan blew the
shofar,
not the chauffeur, the shofar. And it was like a trumpet call that was like, God, come and embody this prayer. Hear our cry. And the absolute powerlessness of this situation to change it, to make it better, and yet gathering all that we could in terms of the power of prayer and faith. And then we went back down. And then at 5 in the morning, maybe 20 after 4, it was sometime around that period, I got a call from Aaron Hemphill. And he said, Keegan's been returned. He was returned. He was brought back to his bed. And the person, I believe, turned himself in. And then there was, you know, the law and justice took its course. It doesn't always turn out that way. But in this case, it really felt like we contended for a little 2-year-old or 3-year-old. And that he was an unknown boy to us, but we were called to pray, and we gathered together, and there was a strengthening, like we stirred each other to a faith level that was important and essential and good. And so that's the story that you wanted me to tell.
Yes. That's the story I wanted you to tell. I was going to tell the story, but I wasn't there. I was in Canmore that day. But I was here down the hall. I came into church, and that group of people were so high. they were so excited that this boy, those situations generally don't turn out well. And they were just so excited to share that this little boy was returned home. So I thought I'd share that, but I want to tell you the rest of the story, or the extra part of the story, because sometimes I'm glad Karen said that all, you know, just because we get to pray, get together to pray, the ending doesn't always turn out the way we'd want it, many times. And so I want to let you know that 1 week from that day, Saturday they climbed the mountain, a week later, a couple in our church lost their son in a car accident just west of town. Devastating. Devastating. And so I make mention of that today. I want you to think about this as we go into a week of prayer. On the one hand, you know, I want to tell the stories, and I could talk half the day of your answers to prayer that you've shared with me and answers to prayer in my own family's life. And we go, well, yeah, it's Sunday, yeah, let's go out there and just, you know, have a great time seeking the Lord and come back next Sunday and all the precious answers of prayer. We could go with that side, and I think I have one little story I'll share in that regard today. But, you know, in the Bible, think about John, the Apostle John. He had a brother named James, and he had a good friend named Peter. And you can imagine John praying. Peter went to jail. James went to jail, his brother. And James never came out. James was beheaded. And Peter, an angel was brought, and he was set free. And he went on and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for many years. So there we have the same church, the same individual asking God, and one is A and one's B. And so as we venture into this week, setting aside time to pray, I want to get you excited about nothing's too difficult for the Lord on the one hand. The burdens that you carry, we can cast those upon the Lord and expectation in our hearts that the Lord will come through. He will. Might not be yes. Might be maybe. Might be later. Might be no. And then on the other hand, I want to prepare you that as we go in, keep your head up. We do have an enemy. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And the greatest weapon we have against him is on our knees, seeking the Lord, asking God to come in and strengthen us and encourage us as we intercede for our family, for our community, for our friends. So, it's going to be an exciting week, eh, Paul? Leafs and Bruins are playing, but you and I, we're going to be seeking the Lord. Is it biblical to pray for your favorite team?
No.
Bruce Brown, I have never prayed for my team to win. Never. Yeah, it's just fun and games. Anyways, I mentioned Paul and I is that maybe I'm going to ask everybody to at least pray for 1 hour. And maybe that hour, just a bit of sacrifice to those Calgary Flame fans, maybe God, listen, maybe God would put it upon your heart to shut the game off. Don't watch a game four. Say, Lord, I'm going to seek your face. And it's a sacrifice for those that are desiring that. You're laughing, but really it is. Something that's of a value to you, importance to you, that you'll like to do or whatever. And say, Lord, are you wanting me just maybe to set aside a half an hour, an hour, 2 hours to seek the Lord for eternal things? What they might be, I don't know. But time with you and God to press in there. Just a thought. This is the week of Passion. This is the Holy Week. Jesus entered Jerusalem and it was, yeah, the crowds were cheering. And by the end of the week didn't even pass and he was on the cross. So, are you pumped to go into this week? Two or three of us, great. That's all we need. Two or three are gathered. Can we get Matthew 26, 30, 36 to 41 up there this morning? Looking forward to getting a TV on that wall so I don't have to turn my back to the people to read. But here's the challenge, and I you know me well enough, I'm challenging myself, I'm challenging us to press in, to not legalism, you got to pray or God's going to get you. You're not part of this body if you don't pray an hour. Don't think that. Let the Spirit of God rise in you and pull you into that closet of prayer. You and him. Here we go. Matthew chapter 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to the place. Okay, preliminaries. I didn't even mention we're having a Good Friday service, did I? It's in the bulletin. It's 10 o'clock. Just thought of that here. But a little, this is Jesus enters Jerusalem on the donkey. Zechariah 9:9 being fulfilled. The crowds are cheering. The mob's getting excited. Messiah, possibly. And then he goes back to Bethany and stays. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he's in the temple. He comes in. The Sanhedrin's trying to nail him. They're asking him all these questions, trying to set him up, make him look like a fool in front of all of these people, asking all of these difficult questions. And Jesus, just every one of them, he flips around and they end up rather embarrassed. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? Pass me a coin. Wow. He handles them beautifully. So he's in that court for 3 days, and then we move on to Thursday. He's in the upper room. He's with his disciples. They break bread. Judas leaves to go do what he's going to do. And Jesus washes the disciples' feet, breaks bread with them. They sing a hymn, and out they go. Kidron Valley to Gethsemane. So here they are in Gethsemane. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here, the three. Stay here, keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to his disciples. Make note of this. He turned his disciples and he found them. He found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is so willing, but the body is weak. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Here we have our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed. And he's facing the cross. And he goes into the garden with his best buddies. And he falls on his face before the Lord, his Father. And he actually prays that prayer. Lord, if it be possible, yet not my will, yours be done. And in that time of his need, three times it goes on. Three times he went and fell on his face to seek his Father. And then he rose up and he went and faced what God had called him to do. My point is this. He received what he needed on his knees in that hour. He received the strength that, do you know what happened after that? I think you do. You've heard the rest of the story, but sometimes if you're like me, I skip to the end. Yes, resurrection, and move on. But he left there. He went into a court. He was tried unjustly, middle of the night, broke the law to do that. He was beaten by the Sanhedrin. He's passed over to Pilate. He's then really beaten and whipped 40 lashes. His back and his flesh were so ripped and torn. Imagine holding a post and just people beating on you with a whip, with pieces of metal ripping out the flesh. And he went through that for you and I. And he went through that, I believe, because he dropped on his knees and he received something from his Father in that hour of need. Agony and grief, sweating as drops of blood. But he got something from his Father in that hour to take him through the next 24, to go through that beating, to have those nails, spikes driven into his body? Back to the hour in Gethsemane. He's crying out to God. Did God answer prayer there? I believe he did. He gave our Lord Jesus Christ the very strength he needed to finish the journey that he had called him on. The journey that Christ knew he was there for. And God come in and strengthened him. At the beginning of his ministry, he's out there battling with the enemy for 40 days. He comes and the Bible says that the Lord sent angels to minister and strengthen him at the beginning of his journey. And here he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing the cross, the horror, the separation, the sin of the world upon him. And God comes in and gives him strength to get up and march forward. Back to you and I. Small challenge. Week of prayer in the Crow's Nest Pass. Doesn't compare with that, eh? But God's called and invited us into that. To seek his face. For our church. For his church. For this community. If you want to get really wild and be praying for around the world and everything, go for it. But definitely include this community that God has placed you and I in for the hours or the weeks or the months, the years that he's allowed us to live here. Can we go to verse 32, 33? Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but how he knows our flesh is so weak. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Look at this. Oh, might be a while. Here we go. One more verse, 33. Peter replied. Remember, this is just before this. Peter replied, but I, whoops. Whoa, he didn't apply that. I will go ahead. Oh, Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. That's Peter. That's Peter. Guys, that's the temptation that comes to us. Nah, I can't do it. I'm weak. Jesus knows our flesh is weak. Flesh is always weak, but it's our spirit. We want to intercede. We want to press in. And as we call out to God, God will come in and minister to our spirit. Forget about the flesh. It'll always be weak. But what an example of Peter in the flesh. Yeah, I'm there for you, Jesus. And all the rest, they were saying the same thing. And in the moment of the trial, what did they do? They fell asleep. Okay, let's go from here. Let's go back to Luke chapter, I think it's chapter 11, verse 1. Jesus' ministry, he picks the 12. They're walking with him. And they say this, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as you taught John, just as John taught his disciples. Here we are a few months, 30 months, 20 months before. Disciples, these guys that are in the garden, Jesus taught them to pray. Do you think Jesus was a good teacher? Didn't get much fruit from these guys, did he? He was an awesome teacher. But it always comes down to you and I. Here's the word. Pray. Jesus says pray. But pastor, I haven't studied prayer. I haven't read a book on prayer. I don't know the Greek and the Hebrew. I can't really get deep into prayer. I'm just having fun, Lydia. But sometimes rather than just Jesus said to pray, Jesus said he's going to say in Matthew chapter 6, when you pray. And this is all he taught them there. It seems they noticed him coming down from the mountain. Often he went away to pray. And this one time, Lord, teach us to pray. And what did he say? Real simple prayer that's with us today, but so powerful. As you dig deep, dig deep, deep, dig deep. And when I say dig deep, everybody in the church here, we're all at different levels of our relationship with God, our maturity. Some have walked with God for 50 years and others are just starting. Some maybe just came over the threshold today. Let me tell you this. Your prayers can be as powerful as the next person because you're praying to the same God. It's him he's the one that answers prayer. We're the ones that intercede. So where was I? Oh, he taught them a prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Isn't that beautiful? Papa, Abba, Father, Papa. Jesus could have said, my Father, but he said, our Father. That totally blew them away. We're all of a sudden, we got this teacher coming down to earth, and he's calling God, Father. And he's inviting us to call him Father, Papa, too. Anybody a papa here? Ron, I love the little one. Papa, papa. You know what that does to my heart? That's what they call me. Sometimes I get them, call me grandfather. It sounds so mature. But I really like the term papa. Man, I hear the grandkids' voice. I could hear that little one. But, oh, something happened over there. Papa, little baby. I hear mine and my heart just floods with joy and peace. And then I think of he's telling me to call him papa. That's how much he loves us, cares for us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Remember, folks, as much as we get centered on our own selves. Matter of fact, here, when you go down to pray, if you're coming up here or at your home, start with the Lord's Prayer. Acknowledge him. It's his kingdom. So many times, and I know the burdens of our life, we might come in and just say, Lord, I need. But really, let's start with him. And I find when I start with him and get the big picture that, wow, it's his kingdom. He's the king. I'm not. Sometimes we act like little kids. It's all about me. You know how kids can be so selfish? They're sweet, but they can be so selfish. They can't even change their own diaper or anything. They're totally dependent. And yet, me, me, me. And we laugh and we smile at the little ones. But we can be like that too. So when we come into that place of prayer, all about him. God, I'm here for you. Do some work in me. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Even those difficult situations, those mountains we're climbing, we think they're never going to end. God, your will be done. Jesus prayed it. Man, the mountain he was facing. And at the end of it, he said, Lord, your will be done. And he wants us to pray that way as well. God, your will be done in my life. You know the big picture. I don't. What comes after that? Your will be done. Thy kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. He's our provider. Forgive us our what? As we forgive those who trespass. As we forgive. Friends, never forget what God has forgiven you. I love sharing my testimony. It reminds me of how much God forgave me and continues to forgive me. But it takes me back to that place, the whiteboard wiped clean because of what he did for me. And when that penetrates my heart and my spirit, it's a lot easier to forgive you, Lydia, your bad acts towards me. It really is. It's so much easier as I look at his forgiveness and that petty differences that we have. Anyways, how does it end? Lead us not into temptation. There is a tempter. There's an enemy. Deliver us from the evil one. We need God's protection from the evil one. And as we pray this week, we intercede for others and we pray for our own protection as well. So there we have Jesus in the garden interceding. He's asking the disciples, could you not pray for 1 hour? Then we see these guys. They fall asleep on the job and everything, and they took training. They took prayer 101 from Jesus himself, and yet here they are, weak in the flesh. But then, the good news is this. We go to the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit comes down, and before the Holy Spirit even comes down, we're found in the book of Acts, chapter 1. He says, hey, tarry in Jerusalem. Stay there. And we find in verse 14 that they're in prayer, waiting on God. They're finally getting it right. They're waiting on God to minister to them. And then you follow the book of Acts, bang, time after time, prayer. The Holy Spirit's outpoured, 3,000 saved, and Peter immediately goes in and talks about, or testifies to the church that they gathered for fellowship, breaking of bread, the apostles' teaching, and prayer. Chapter 2. Chapter 3, where were they headed? Do you remember the miracle of the man that had been lame all those years? The Bible says that Peter and John were going to the house of prayer, at the hour of prayer. They're heading for prayer. In chapter 3 and 4, we see that that miracle got them in trouble. They ended up going before the Sanhedrin. They were rebuked, said, never speak in that name again. And they were persecuted, and then they went home, and they reported to the group. And get this, these disciples, the ones that were falling asleep on the job, now they realize maybe there was something happening in prayer. And they gather together, and they're rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the king. And then what was their prayer request? Lord, give us more boldness to preach your word. They didn't even ask for safety. Nothing. Lord, just strengthen this, because they knew the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. Lord, give us boldness then to preach your word. Stephen gets martyred. What's he doing at the end? He's calling out in prayer to his father, to Father, forgive them. They know not what they've done. And then we wind up in Acts chapter 10. The Jews are getting saved. Now it's time for the Gentiles. And there's a man named, I think we got this one, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, get this, Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Think about this week, Cornelius. He was just a regular prayer, and an angel showed up on the scene. Not only that, the angel spoke words to him. Your prayers and your gifts to the poor are as an offering unto God. Everyone here can be just like Cornelius. Maybe even some will get a drop in of an angel this week. Wouldn't that be something? Things can happen when we humble ourselves before the Lord and seek his face in prayer. The whole book of Acts is all of a sudden, wow, power of the Holy Spirit, but so often is accompanied seeking the Lord in prayer. Let's switch pages here. We need some practical help, I think. No, I'm not even going into that. Let's just close with one verse. Karen, you're coming, or I'm going to get Terry to read a note for us here before we enter into communion. But here's the note I want you to remember this week. Concerns prayer. James chapter 1, 22, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. I didn't say Matthew chapter 6, did I? Oh, let's see, this could be, Lord, where do we go? Before we get here, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, you remember the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew chapter 6, when you give, don't be like the hypocrites do and ring the bells and draw attention to yourself, but do it in secret. When you give alms to the poor. Then he goes on to say, Al, Christian Center, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites do and draw attention to themselves. But he says, go into your closet and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Being North American, there has to be a little bait for us, eh? Has to be a little something for us in it. Well, Jesus says that. He says he'll reward you. We won't go on to the rewards today. Those are between you and God. But Jesus simply says, when you pray, Al. Church, we've called prayer this week. When you pray. And then let's add this verse to it. James chapter, what was it? James chapter 1, verse 21. Church, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. The word today is a call to prayer. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, after looking at himself, goes away, immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom continues to do so, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. There's the promise from the Lord this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, when you pray, God says, shut the door, go into your closet, go down to the prayer room, or stay at home and get alone with God, and God will reward you as you seek his face. He will. And really emphasize the spiritual rewards. I know they're gifts. We call them gifts, but gifts of the Spirit. Why? Not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of his body. The benefit of his body in this community as we try to take the word of the Lord throughout the Crow's Nest Pass. Last thought. 2014, you asked me to be the pastor of this church. I made three deals, I guess. But one of them was says, we're going down the path of prayer and fasting. Do you remember that? We started in 2015, 1 week of prayer and fasting. And I look back over the years, I think, wow, look what the Lord has done. We just set aside that week, 1 week of the year, to seek, to humble ourselves and seek God's face for the blessing, the mercy, the grace upon his church and as we filter through this community. And look what the Lord is doing. That is primary, so vital to the health of our church that we set aside time to seek God's face. Amen? Amen. I've been watching for 5 years. And we're on a good roll with God. We're presenting ourselves before him, and things are happening in all of our hearts. It's good stuff. And we want to keep that rolling. A lot of it has to do with the time we spend with God interceding on behalf of ourselves and others in our community. Amen? We've got a week of prayer. I'm excited about it. I know the enemy's, you know, trying to cut the legs from under us, but I'm excited what God is doing in each of our lives. And as we set aside time, each one this week, that the things he's going to do in the crow's nest pass, to him be honor and glory and praise. Terry, would you come? And Karen, you're going to come after and lead us in communion.